And you'll understand it a lot better as we study it. Now, we studied last week the key verse in the whole Bible. What was that? Do you have it down in your notes? That's right. No. 1 and verse 10. Uh-huh. The key verse in the whole Bible is Ephesians 1 and 10. Can someone read that one for me?
Yeah.
I like it in King James Version very well.
That image is
uh-huh. All right. Now, we studied this last week, I remember. Now, what it's saying here in verse 10, that everything that God did from the beginning of time, or even in eternity, that Jesus would redeem all things. And Jesus means Jehovah saves. And the Old Testament, the word Jehovah means he who shall become. It comes from the Hebrew word Hayah. Alright? Hayah means became. Remember Genesis 1 and 2. And the earth, she became. Hayah. That is the word. That is the Greek word. And the earth, she became, formless and void. Alright? And Jehovah means he who shall become. And John 1 and 1, up here on the board, that's John 1 and 1. I wrote that up there. I was getting
nothing else to do.
Well, I was showing Jessica. I was trying to get her. I'm trying to coerce her into transcribing Greek for me, and I was trying to show her how it looks. And it says NRK ain hologo, pi hologo, ain proton theon, pi hologo, ain theon. This is John 1 and 1. It says in beginning. Here's the Hebrew verb, really. Alright. Kept on being, because Jesus always was. It says he was no beginning, he had no beginning and no end as a person. Alright. As a human, he had a beginning on this earth. He was born into the world as our Savior. He had to be our kinsman redeemer, according to the Old Testament. Oh no, look at that a little bit. In beginning, kept on being the Word. This word here, John tells us, is Jehovah. That's who the word is, Jehovah. They didn't speak the word Jehovah in the Old Testament. They didn't have a word.
Is that the same deal,
Doctor? Well, actually, some people say that's what the word was, the doxology. What you're talking about?
Yeah, I thought it was
They say that there was a Greek explanation of the word, the logos, and everything, but that's not what John was talking about. John wrote the Gospel of John after all of the other Gospels had been written, and he said there needed to be a total explanation that Jesus was Jehovah. He wanted everybody to know that. They said that he was not raised from the dead. They said that God did not come in the flesh, and he said he did. John says, I want this book out there so they'll know without any doubt that this is what happened a decade ago.
Uh-huh. Oh, in Nephew?
Mm-hmm. Yep, do you want to read that?
And there are also many other things which Jesus did. The which, that which, if they should be written everywhere, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written.
In 33 and a half years, is a time. But remember, when John talks about Jesus, he was eternal. He was the eternal one. That's why he's writing here. John 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 1 are kind of a. They are twin scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. This is Jehovah right here. He said, this Word, Jehovah, the Word that you've been saying, when you go by and you read in the Old Testament and you don't say it, you don't pronounce the word Jehovah, this is the Word. The Word, and the Word was toward, or kept on being towards the God. He always was. He always was part of the Godhead. What we called the Godhead, the triune God, like we're triune beings. He made us in his shadow-casting image, is what the Hebrews said. God made man in his shadow-casting image. God made man in his shadow-casting image and his blood-flowing likeness. He is spiritually, physically, and mentally like God. No other being was made like that, only man. And the Word kept on being God. He didn't cease from being God when he came to the world. John 1:14. Go to John 1 and verse 14. We see the fulfillment again. Wrong book. Well, I'm not even anywhere near where I'm supposed to be.
Okay. Just go on,
Mike.
You're driving. You're a virtual
cat driving. Well, I could have quoted it to you from Greek. I hold all those stars together, so it's all of that. And the Word flesh became. And Jehovah flesh became. All right? The word Jehovah means became, doesn't it? He who shall become. When Christ came to this earth in the flesh, the word, the prophecy of the word Jehovah was fulfilled in Jesus. He who shall become became. We no longer look toward Jehovah anymore. We look to Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of the word or the promise of the word Jehovah. Because Jesus is a Jehovah Bible. Jesus is Jehovah too. He is the fulfillment of that title, Jehovah. He who shall became. Here, when you study the original languages, it is so plain, it jumps out and slaps you all over the face. Wham, wham, wham. I got your attention. When you read it in English, sometimes it doesn't. But here it says in 1 verse 14, and the word Jehovah flesh became. The fulfillment that we've been listening to and looking for since the Garden of Eden. Remember when Adam was back there and he looked at his wife. By the way, her name wasn't Eve. Somehow or another, that cropped up someplace. Huh? Isha means out of man, but her name meant living one, because the living one was going to come through her. The living one would be Jesus. The living one would be Jesus, and he had to come to the woman so he would be related to us so he could redeem us from our sins. See? The Word became flesh, our flesh became, and pitched his tent right in the middle of it. And he displayed under bright candlelight, or light, the glory of him, glory as of the only begotten from beside the Father, full of grace and truth. Boy. And then, you can go ahead and read all the way down there if you want to. But in verse 18, here is another thing that this brings it out so plainly from the original language. God, not anyone, literally it says, moreover, not one, udes is what it is. It's made up of three, actually, little words. U, which means not, de, which means moreover, and ace is a numeral one. Udes, no, moreover, not one, no one has seen, never, 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 the only begotten God. God begot God. God begot himself through flesh, the flesh of Mary. Mary was not a perpetual virgin. She had children after that. Talked about Jesus, talked about his brothers and sisters. She was just a woman, okay? But God chose her to bring into this world his flesh. God became flesh. That's what it says in verse 14. The only begotten God. God begat himself through that woman, brought himself into the world so he could redeem us. Jessica.
Mm-hmm. like a mathematical line. It never, it doesn't have an ending and it doesn't have a
beginning.
It's still long, mm-hmm. long, and long.
Now Jesus always was. He says, before Abraham was, I am. The word I am there, remember what he told Moses? He says, Moses, he says, who shall I say who sent me? He says, I am. I am. And if you chase that back down, it's I become, I shall become. It's Jehovah. It's Jehovah. And Jesus is the one. He is the Jehovah. He is the one who shall become. He's the fulfillment of the word of the name Jehovah. He's the fulfillment. He's the last title. He is the crowning event of the Jehovah title. Every one of the Jehovah titles in the Old Testament means something. But remember, Jehovah means he who shall become. And Jesus means Jehovah saves, he who shall become saved. All right. Now, how can somebody make it plain that people go off on this thing and they try to deny the bodily incarnation of God in the flesh? God can only redeem us if he was related to us. And he paid the penalty of sin. He had to come down here. He had to become. The first time that we ever see the word Jehovah in the Old Testament is after Adam's sin. And not only did God die for man, but he died for the whole creation. Did you know that? He died for the rocks, he died for the earth, he died for all the whole universe.
How do we look that way? He died for two babies?
John 3:16. For God so loved it, not man, the whole world system, cosmos, not man, not just man. He loved the whole world. He has to redeem the world back to him. Who is the God of this world right now? Yes, Satan. He is the God. Lucifer is the God of the world right now. He's the one. See, God put Adam in the garden, didn't he? He is the God of this world. But God put Adam in the garden. We studied all this back here. In the Adamic age. In the age of innocence. He created Adam the same way as he created this earth. He's related to the earth. We talked about the names of Adam, of man, in the Bible. Adamah means of the earth. Earthy. Okay? The word earth is the root of Adam. That's what the name. It means earthy. Or earthly. That's what Adam means, okay? He's related to this earth. And he put Adam here and he said, Adam, you be a caretaker of the earth. And he said, look at all the trees out in this garden I planted for you. You may eat of any tree in this garden. You know that he didn't tell him not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He didn't tell him not to eat of it. He said, you can. But in the moment you do that, you run transgress. You can eat it. He didn't say, don't do it. You can't do it. But don't.
Let's talk this right here. You can see a comment on that. Choice.
We have a choice. When we're born into this world, we're not born to go to hell.
We go again, it's given free choice by God, and we must check by our love of God, free choice to do. Or we sit up and do that free choice to save God.
Well, first of all, man can't love without God. Until you're born again, you can't love. Did you know that? You're incapable of loving. You're incapable of loving your fellow man like God wants you to love him until you're born again. And when you're born again, why do you think he wants to go out and live with somebody? Because you love your fellow man. You don't want to see them go to hell. You see their little faces in the flames. You don't want to see their faces in the flames. But that's where they're going. We're not born into this world to go to hell. We're not. We choose, as Adam chose in the garden. We all have sinned. We all come short of the glory of God. We all do this. All of us deserve to go to hell. But Jesus paid the cost. Our God came down and paid that. The cost for it. He paid for it. Already done, paid for. All we have to do is thank God. Accept it. Say, this is mine, not here. When were you saved? Do you know a time in your life when you asked God to save your soul and forgive you of your sins? Do you remember that time? There's a time. there is a time. There is a time when you were born again. There is a moment. There is a time. I can remember the time. Huh? Well, I've asked God to forgive me a lot of times. But I've only asked Him to save me once. But I asked Him to forgive me what I've done since then. A lot of times. But for salvation, He only saved you once. He was only crucified once for you. That's all. You can't crucify Him again after He will save you again. You just say, forgive me for what I've done. And He does. He forgives us of all our sins.
It says, let's go on back to 18 again. Sometimes I get chasing a rabbit and I forget where I am. John 1 and 18. God, no one has seen never. The only begotten God, God begat Himself. It says the one being in the bosom of the Father. In other words, in the presence of the Shekinah glory, that one has led Himself out.
Because the
absolutely glorious presence of God, Jesus.
That's the Hebrew translation of that?
Yeah, it means the shining presence of God. Jesus, when He was on the Mount of Transfiguration, showed forth the Shekinah glory of God. When God took possession of the tabernacle and the temple in the Old Testament, that was the Shekinah glory. They saw the physical glory of God. We can never look into the glory of God because He is too bright. He is too pure. We would melt with His presence. You have to wear glasses to see God. The glasses that you wear are blood pain. That's
easy.
All right. You turn to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. And verse 3, we also have a Jehovah title here. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. A voice is calling. Now, this is New American Standard. Clear the way for the Jehovah in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our Elohim.
Both words in that thing, it tells Elohim, by the way, is the creator in the Bible. He's the one who created everything. But also we know from the book of Colossians and several other places in the Bible, many other places, all over the book, that Jesus is the one who created. He held, the Bible is Jesus' word. It is His word. All of it is His. He is the one that inspired it all. He's the one that created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that keeps them, the sun coming up and the sun going down in the right place. He's the one that wakes the trees up in the springtime. And every year is one day to a tree. It wakes up and goes to sleep. Wakes up. Every day we wake up and we go to sleep that night. We wake up that morning and we go to sleep that night. A tree lives one day a year. It wakes up in the spring and goes to sleep in the fall. Well, Jesus is the one that makes it visible. Rain and breeze. They're shouting and saying, hey, look at me, I have leaves now. Yay! Yeah. But Jesus is the one that makes them do that. He's the one that died to redeem all of this. And the creation, it says, groans, waiting for the redemption of it. And it won't be totally redeemed until we have the new heaven and the new earth. For 1,000 years after Jesus comes, He raptures His people, and after the tribulation period, people will live on this old earth for 1,000 years again. And then at the end of that time, He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. For this 7 years here, the bride is going to be with Him. His bride will have a 7-year honeymoon with the Lord. By the way, the wedding feast in the Old Testament lasted how long? How long did it last? It was called the wedding week. How long was it? 7 days. This 7 years stands for the wedding week that Jesus will be honeymooning with His bride that is raptured and caught up to be with Him, along with all the other things. There is a book of them, by the way. We'll get into that later. A voice crying or calling in the wilderness, clear the way for Jehovah,
make smooth in the desert a highway for our Elohim. In John, the first chapter and verse 23, John the Baptist says, in verse 22 actually, they said to him, and all these guys are asking him, these Pharisees and scribes and hypocrites and everybody else, they said to him, "Who are you, so that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" They're talking about John here. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of Jehovah, as Isaiah the prophet has said. Make straight the way of Jehovah. Make his path smooth." Isaiah 40 and verse 3. Jesus is the fulfillment. Jesus is called Jehovah. He is also called Elohim. Now, whose way did he make straight? No. Whose way did John make straight? Jesus' way. He made the way for Jesus. He prepared a people for him. He prepared the way for the Lord. Jehovah.
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist prepared the way for Jehovah. And who is Jehovah? Jesus. Is there any doubt in your mind about it? Any doubt?
Wouldn't it be first four? It talks about Mary going to visit her cousin, the woman who was much better than I have
in her womb. John was 6 months older than Jesus. John was 6 months older than Jesus. Her name was Elizabeth, wasn't it? Yeah. All right. Now, look what John says about Jesus. Now they have been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, and he said to them, Why are you baptizing? Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John says, I baptize in water. You better put down there dip someplace, because that's what he said. I dip in water. But among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he, capital in the original language, by the way, he who comes after me, the throng of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan. Now, at another place it says that he was before me. Before me. He was before me. Now, Jesus was 6 months younger than John, but John says he was before me. Why was he before me? Because Jesus told those people, here you're not yet 30 years old, and you said you're older than Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, I am. I'm Jehovah. You know why Jesus was crucified? Do you know why he was crucified?
Because the Pharisees were crazy.
Why was he crucified? He said he was Jehovah. He said he was God.
It's because they were disrupting the pages of their law, which is
Jehovah. But it wasn't new, it was the old one.
Yeah.
But they did not want Jehovah to come like he came. He said that the indictment against Jesus when he was killed on the cross of Calvary was that he said he was God. That's the indictment they brought against him. He was guilty of that indictment because he did say that he was God, except that he was not lying when he said he was God. He was not lying because he was God. If Jesus was crucified and he was not God, then he deserved to die.
And he wouldn't have been resurrected.
He would not have been resurrected. He would not have resurrected himself. He said, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll do what to it? That's right. What's he talking about?
His own
body. Did Jesus Christ bodily raise from the dead?
Yeah.
That's right. The Bible says he did. People will tell you in the religious world that he was never raised from the dead in the body form. But he was. Without the resurrection, there is no salvation. Jesus dying for you didn't mean anything unless he was raised. There's no point in the salvation if he wasn't raised. So, Isaiah 40 and verse 3, the fulfillment of that is in John 1 and 23. It tells us the word Jehovah is still filled in John 1 and 1, John 1 and 14, John 1 and 18. The prophecy of the word Jehovah is fulfilled in those verses.
and in the person of Jesus Christ,
the anointed Savior, that's what it means, Christos, the anointed one, Jesus, Jehovah saved. Okay. Now, do you understand what we all have got there? And then in Ephesians 1 and 10, I want you to look at that verse again. Ephesians 1 and verse 10. Because this is the key verse in the whole Bible. This one you ought to memorize. That in the dispensations of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one. Who's the one? Jesus, all things in Christ, which are in the heaven, which are on the earth, even in him. John 1, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. God saved the world by his own merit. Not by yours, not by mine, not by anyone else's good merit. We're only saved by the blood of Jesus Christ because he redeems us back to himself. Okay? Now, the Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus in the New Testament. All the Old Testament points to the Savior that was to come. That's what it says. Talks about Israel. Colossians 2:14 through 17. Somebody turn to the book of Colossians. That's right after Philippians. Philippians and Colossians. 2 and verse 14 through 17. If you look on your little chart, all this is right there. And if you would like to write the key verse up there, Ephesians 1 and 10 at the top of your little paper, and then Isaiah 40 and verse 3, the fulfillment of that was John 1 and 23. The title, Jehovah title, was fulfilled in Christ in John 1 and 1, John 1 and 14, John 1 and 18. And then if you look down here in this little column right here on your little chart, so here's the whole chart, right here, right up here, it says the law was done away with in Colossians 2:14 through 17. Who has that? Go ahead, Lana.
Pointing out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ.
Jesus is the real Christ. He was the real Jehovah. All of the Old Testament was nothing but shadow. All of those ordinances and everything were just shadows of his coming. But once we have the real thing here, remember we talked about a week or two ago about that Chinese guy? You remember him, Jessica? Jennifer? You remember that Chinese guy, Thomas? Remember the one that was over here in this country working in the railroads and the gold mines and everything else? And when he left China, he started writing to a girl over there that he had never met. And he finally made his fortune in San Francisco, and he sent the money for his bride to come to America, and they had fallen in love with each other, writing letters back and forth. And she came to the dock, and he ran out on the dock out there, and when she came off the boat, he jumped down and kissed her shadow. That's what happened. Remember I told you?
What a wild story, kiss shadow.
That's what we're doing if we don't accept Christ. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to kiss the shadow and ignore the real one. He didn't kiss the shadow, he kissed the girl. He loved the girl, not her shadow. But Israel, those Jews loved the shadow. They didn't want to kiss the Son. They didn't want to kiss the Redeemer, Jehovah. They would not kiss him.
Okay, in 2 Corinthians 8, the third chapter, that is, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that's before this one. 2 Corinthians, 1st and 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 7 through 11. Do you have that one? 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 11. Yeah, you can read it.
But if a man
death, written and engraved in stone to victorious, so that the children of Israel cannot step back behold the face of Moses. For the glory of his countenance, this glory will be done away.
Hold on right there. When Moses went to meet with God, the afterglow of God shone in Moses' face so brightly that they could not look upon him. And this wasn't looking upon God. This was looking upon the reflection of God through Moses. Okay? Go ahead.
How shall not the ministrations of the Spirit be rather glorious? Whereas the ministrations of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministrations of righteousness be in glory. For even that which is made glorious had no glory in his respect, by reason of the glory that is to it.
Yeah.
For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious.
Okay, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. There are a lot of Jewish people in there that want to still worship the law and not God.
And he couldn't have said it more hard to understand the way it could.
What it says here, in a nutshell, is that you're trying to worship the law that God gave Moses. You couldn't look upon the face of Moses because it shone so great, and all it was a reflection of the real God. Don't worship Moses. Worship the God of heaven. Moses was not God. He was just a reflection. His face only reflected the glory of God. When he came down off of that mountain.
Couldn't he said it? He had that Aaron put a hat on and got turned into a big shot and put that in the They went to these kings to show that he could do it.
Yeah. And Moses was the only one that really followed God, and he always didn't follow God in the best way he could have. He was
He
struck the rock on it. The rock was typifying Christ. He got to look at the promised land. He was 120 years old. He stood up on this mountain and looked out there, and he could see just like a young man could. You know, when God kissed Moses to sleep, that's what happened. He put him to sleep and buried him. He wouldn't let him see where his grave was. They would have worshipped him to this day. They would have kissed him to the bone. Because they wanted to worship Moses more than ever did God. And God was the real person, not Moses. Moses was only a leader. Don't kiss the leader, kiss the king. Don't bow down to the leader, bow down to the one that sent the leader.
One of his soul writings goes into that, to one of his churches here. He took all of those endless miracles, and how much more.
Well, John said that also. John, the Apostle John. Blessed because you have not seen. But you believe, all right. But blessed means it doesn't mean you're better at me. You don't have to word blessed. Happy you are. Happy you are, is what he said. You are happy because of this. Didn't mean that they were good. Didn't mean anything else. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. The faith is not yours. The faith is the gift of God. There is nothing in salvation that is of work that you can do. It's all a gift of God. But after God saves you, then he wants you to be converted. And he wants you to follow him. That's another step. Salvation and then conversion. Follow the Lord. Turn around and get with him. Follow him. Follow alongside him. Yep, the new creature. We're a new creation. So start acting like a new creature or a new creation. All right, so we got that one down. And then it says Matthew 5 and verse 18. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Matthew 5 and verse 18. Thomas, are you following us in your Bible? Matthew 5 and verse 18. Do you think you can read that one to us? 5 and verse 18. Matthew 5, 18. Have you found that, Thomas? Let's see how good Thomas can read. Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and verse 18. For verily, can someone loan him a cup of marriage? When was the law fulfilled?
Jesus
was raised. Mm-hmm. That's right, that's what it was done for. He was done and over with. When Jesus was raised from the dead, when he raised himself from the dead, to be his God. He said, I'll put my body down, but destroy the temple in 3 days, I'll raise it again. So when Jesus was said, sometimes God raised him from the dead, well, it doesn't make matter, because Jesus is God. He raised himself from the dead. It's not double talk, it's not the heresy of the scripture when it says God raised Jesus from the dead, because Jesus is God. It says in other places that he raised himself from the dead. In other places it says that he raised himself for himself from the dead in the middle voice of
it. I guess Bible should have the English and the native tongue side by side.
Here's
one
right here.
Do
you mean Greek?
Well,
it's always a Sunday translation. If you want to look down to here, I've changed the note.
So like over here, what you see is the Greek words and underneath the English translation.
Well, yeah, that's probably good. Okay.
But that's what I should look for if I come across it.
Moreover, whoever may be, Jesus is made, that's the country
code. Well, okay, I don't even know the alphabet.
Yeah, but I'm just showing you, this is even this little thing right here. It really isn't. It's a fair translation sometimes, but other times it's way far off.
And what's that thing?
This is the interlinear.
Interlinear.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
By the way, I almost bought you a Young's Analytical Concordance
when I was down in Bakersfield. They had them on sale down there.
Ooh.
Would you like?
Okay,
I'm going tomorrow. Okay. It's so good. What? In the morning. Tomorrow morning sometime. You could come by with a check or something if you wanted to.
Well, this is the way to do it.
And you even got an 800 number, but I can go.
Strong's,
you got to look here and look back here. Young's, it's all there. You don't have to look anywhere. Look up every word. Well, in Young's Analytical Concordance, it says the word Jehovah. And right there behind it is the word Jehovah in Hebrew. And
uh-huh.
It's a literal translation of it, what it means,
uh-huh.
And everything else right there. And then all the places in the Bible that name's found. Everywhere.
Oh, because you have to go back and see.
You can go everywhere, and every word is that way in the whole Bible. It's in Young's Analytical Concordance, and it tells you what it is. I can't remember, it was like $30-something, it was down for $21 or something, or 19 or something like that. It was like that the last time I was there. Anyway, I should have got it.
Well, that's a lot of money. Well, I'll try to charge over there in the morning.
Yeah. All right. So the law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and not one word of that law would ever pass away, not one smooth or rough breather or anything.
That's what it meant. Not one little mark in the writing would pass away. That's a smooth breather there.
Oh,
and here's a rough breather. Yeah.
Ah.
Not one smooth or rough breather. Not even one accent mark will pass away.
Oh.
That's what they are. This is a smooth breather. That's a rough breather. And there's circumflex and acute and grave markings. And they're all...
Yeah.
Well, this is just... It's not brilliant. I'm just trying to explain to you why.
You're on a tittle. That's what that is.
Okay, here,
let me show you what he's talking about.
Now, they were looking at the Old Testament in Greek, by the way. Most of them. Most of them couldn't even read Hebrew. both of them spoke Yiddish and almost Greek in every way. Here's your grave and circumflexes like this, and then you've got your smooth and your rough breathing. That's your markings in Greek, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in Hebrew, you have your different vowel markings that tells you how to say the word. And that's what this does, too. You have your acute, grave, and circumflex over the word. And if you look in Greek, you will see those markings. Acute, grave,
no.
Circumflex.
Where's the wiggle over the word?
And there's two O's in Greek, by the way. You have an omicron and an omega. Yeah.
You have two E's in Greek.
Epsilon and A. And then you have markings over these.
Not even one vowel marking will pass away until the law is completed. And of course, the law was completed in Jesus Christ. And then it says, in Psalms, the Psalms are not the law, okay? Ephesians 5:16 and Colossians 3:16. Ephesians.
Now wait, are we looking up
at Psalms? Oh, no, this, we're right down here on your little chart.
Chart.
Your chart. We're in this column right here. The Psalms are not the law, by the way.
Ephesians 5 and verse 16.
Well, what's this been reading about this kid, David?
And by the way,
when he thumbed his nose at the Philistines, who are these uncircumcised Philistines to do something to the army of the living God? Imagine this kid saying that.
They were blaspheming the name of God, and this kid jumps up. He can't even get the armor on. He can't. And he got five stones. Five is the number of grace.
He took him out of the Brook Kidron there, which is, by the way, right now about Jerusalem. It's brother. And he took five stones out of there, five is the number of grace, and he only had to use one. He got into the movie throwing rocks and bits. He was throwing rocks and bits. He threw a rock, and God guided that rock, and it went right where it was supposed to go. And that's all it took, and he got that sword, and he chopped that Goliath's head off. And that's all she wrote. Goliath was outnumbered and outbigged. That's right. You know how many people it would take to whip the whole world?
How many Jews would it take to whip the whole world for Israel to whip all the world?
They already had it,
and they detected it. How many Jews would they need to whip the whole world?
Was that 144,000?
They will be 144,000. But who's going to fight the battle? The Jews and one God.
The Jews and one God.
That's all it takes. One Jew and one God. And that's all it would take. All right. Psalms are not the law. Ephesians 5 and 16, Colossians 3:16.
Okay, somehow that doesn't...
I don't see how that's in there.
Why does this apply?
Let's go
with Colossians 3:16 doesn't seem to have much to do with
that. Colossians 3:16, go to that one. I don't know why that is there. Just mark that one out for some reason. Ephesians 5 and 16. Oh, 5 and 19. Okay, 5:19. Colossians, that shouldn't be 5:16, it should be 5:19. Okay, that's it. Speaking it to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? In other words, we still are to use the psalms today in New Testament service to God. That's what it's all talking about here. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord."
Mm-hmm. Remembering the grace in your hearts. Remember the grace, the free gift of God that God has given to you.
There, we have a whole songbook of songs that have been made up from the Psalms and from passages of the Scripture. And so we could even make one. Why, if you wrote a real good song, Nina, they might be singing it if the Lord didn't come back 100 years from now. So there's Nina Smith. We're talking about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The people in the songbook, songs in the hymn books that we have here, people develop them from Scripture and from the song. What? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We use the Bible. We can use the Psalms in the Old Testament. Now, we're not supposed to worship God through the law today, is what it's saying here. You want to come to God, you don't go out and buy a real good looking sheep and have its head chopped off or its throat slashed and put on the altar and burned up. That's not when you come to God.
That lamb was the shadow of something to come. The shadow was Jehovah. Remember what Jehovah means?
Didn't Jesus go through all of that when he said finally that he is the New Testament? Isn't that
where all the He said, I am the New Testament. He said, this is the New Testament.
Well,
the New
right
Covenant.
Before,
Testament means covenant. Jesus was giving, administrating, or giving to the church the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, this is the new covenant that I make with you. All right? Israel had rejected the old covenant. They had rejected the old covenant because they rejected Jehovah.
Oh,
he who shall come was fulfilled in Jesus. All right. Well, if people could see that, man, they would. There wouldn't be a thousand religions out there in the world if they could only see what I approach you tonight in that one order. But they don't want to.
Well, when you read the Red Jesus words,
you know,
half the time he's
mentioning
the
Christ
himself,
he's
telling them
apart. He's telling them they did not accept the one that came. All of those stories that he told. Remember all of those stories? We call them what? What are all the stories? Remember what they are in Ephesus? All the stories. What are those called? We call them stories, and they were called a parabole.
Parabole.
All right? Parabole.
What are you talking about? You know,
the
big
trees,
the
tall
trees.
There it is. There's the word parable. It is a transliteration from Greek. There's no word in English that was called parable. That's a Greek word.
Oh, now how does that write into English letters? I'm looking for a name for my quote. Terrible. Well, I just make it look like English letters. Okay. See what the word is.
Terrible. Oh. Terrible.
You know why the quote means it?
It's just that it's terrible. Probably terrible. That means to cast aside, to throw down something that you can understand down beside the spiritual teaching, the spiritual truth, so you can understand it better.
I thought
it
meant the truth, not the particular word.
You know,
I thought
of
it
that. Parabole. And that's an alpha, by the way. Parabole. Parable. That means to throw alongside. Bala means to throw. Balo, I throw. That's what it says. Bala, beside. I throw beside. I throw beside. Well, the word, the bole, it's the Spanish word for that. Came from the Greek word balo, I throw. Okay. Greek is the grandfather of all languages, basically, all of these, what we call the Western languages. It's the father of Latin also. Right. Latin came from Greek.
I'm not sure it was before Rome.
That's right. Actually, if you study history, Rome conquered the world, but before Rome was a Greek empire, wasn't it? The Greek empire. Alexander the Great. But wait a minute. Alexander the Great conquered the world. The Romans came along and reconquered the world. But the Greek philosophy conquered the Romans. The Romans used the Greek, they thought Greek, they believed Greek. The Romans did. All their gods were Greek. Everything that they did was Greek. They might have conquered the ancient Greek empire, but the Greek philosophy and intellect conquered them.
Peter the Great, Russia, and France.
That's where it came from. You know, when you start tying all these things together, it makes a lot more sense in the long run down here when you look at history. But anyway, parable, Jesus was trying to tell them in some way that they could understand a spiritual truth and bring it to life. You know why I told you the story about the Chinaman?
That was a
parable. That was a modern day parable. I gave you a parable so you could understand. Don't kiss the law, kiss the son. Don't kiss Moses, kiss God. That's right. Don't worship the created creature, the creation. Don't worship the written law, the written word. Worship the one who gave it to us. And if you look, I used to teach philosophy of religion. All religions out there in the world, there's a whole bunch of them, by the way. They all either deal with the spiritual side of man, which is true, God looking, man looking for God spiritually, physically, or mentally. Spiritual, physical, just triunely again. Everything man does, what he wants to do or not, he does in a triune way. And in this study that we got here, I'm trying to bring this all out and things I've taught in school and college for years and years, and trying to throw it out at you guys so you can get pieces of this of it. All right, philosophy of religion. All right, man is spirit, he's mind, and he's physical or body. And in religions in the world today, you're going to find out, and I believe you're in the truth right now. So you can work with God in spirit, you can work with his mind, and you can work with him physically. You're here. Alright? But God did all these things for you. We don't have to cut our flesh. We don't. Jesus died and bled for us already. Okay? There are people out chastising them. Does there are people out? Yeah, the penitent. They go without something. Jesus did it. When you go for a lift and you do away with something, what you say is, Jesus, you didn't do enough. I gotta help you. You can't buy it. All you're doing is thumbing your nose at God and saying, you didn't do enough. He did it all. Anytime we try to place something else between us and God besides Jesus, we're not worshiping again. Well, we can't earn salvation. We can't do anything for our salvation. We can do it because of it, but not for it. But in false religion, you'll find people that are truly worshiping God in spirit. We got people out there that they go in trances trying to get only their spirit. They go to speed on this. They go to eccentric. You know what an eccentric person is? What does it
mean?
No, what does it mean? What does eccentric mean?
Eccentric means they follow their own little thing.
No, eccentric. It means out of center or out of balance. A wobble in the wheel. That's wrong. One for the flat side. That means someone's out of balance. In true religion, you have a smooth combination of these three things. All right? But out there in the world, you're going to find out people are going in the trance. It's like time to get messages from the God of heaven. My goodness, here it is. This is the message. We don't have to go seek it. All you have to do is read it. The instructions are here. You don't need to go into a trance. John did it. Paul did it for you. It's enough. All right? Spiritually. Spirit only. Spirit only means things to me. We have the Christian scientists that say, that is not real. There's never a Christian scientist that ever lived. Christian science, science over mind healing. It's all in hand. And they deny death, they deny sickness, they deny disease. I don't care how much you deny it, if you get cancer, you're going to die from it. If something doesn't happen in the meanwhile. All right. Every one of these are false religious systems. They go eccentric. Okay, how about mine? We got people that try to become so biblically intelligent that they buy their way by intelligence. They know their way. Well, you can know it, but that's not all. That's not all. Not only do you know that you're saved, you feel when you know. You're saved. You're spiritual and physical. And we know what physical means. A lot of people go out and cut their flesh. They go out and have themselves crucified down in the dope team, the penitences, all of it, the penitences. Yeah, it's all over. But we have that.
I told this to my friend Greg.
They're used to sacrificing their flesh for God.